Welcome to the White House Family Spoken Novels Podcast, Episode 111. Today we're reading Chapter 3 of the novel and family drama Just Don't Stop, Book 3, by Daniel White III with his wife Marika White. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Isaiah 64:6. It was 2 in the morning when Kirby dragged himself out of the bed. He trudged into the kitchen to get something to drink and something to eat. The hunger pangs hurt him almost as badly as his head. He fixed a bowl of the chicken, broccoli, and rice Christie had prepared the previous day. After placing it in the microwave, he took the glass of grape juice he had poured himself and walked into the living room. He was surprised to see his wife curled up on one corner of the couch with a remote control in her hand. The television was on mute. Kirby cautiously sat down on the other end of the couch. The beeping from the microwave broke the silence. "Christie, we can handle this. We can make it. We can talk and..." Christie did not take her eyes off the television as she forcefully punched the buttons on the remote control. "Oh, so now it is we. Where was we when you were so-called counseling that underage girl? Where was we when you didn't spend Christmas with your own children and instead spent Christmas with her? Where was we when you were in bed with her?" Kirby tried to respond. "I do not want to hear it, Kirby," Christie said. We should have been in our bed when you got the urge, but no, you had to go rob the cradle. Tell me, is she that much better than me?" "No, Christie, she's just a temptation the devil threw my way. It's my weakness, as I've already shared with you. The devil knows that, and, well, he just threw it at me again and again, and, the devil my foot, we give the devil too much credit for our own foolishness. That's an excuse. Be a man and take responsibility for all of it. Now you had better get out of my sight before I blow my top," Christie said. "I thought your top was already blown," Kirby said. "On second thought," she said, rising from the couch, "no, I'm not going to blow my top. You spend the night on the couch. I'm not going to let you put me out of my bed. Or is it our bed?" Christie tossed the remote control on the couch and strode towards the door. "You know," she said, pausing at the door, "the strange thing about this confession is, you never once said I'm sorry. You never once tried to ask for my forgiveness. But that's all right." She hurried on to the bedroom, leaving her husband speechless. The following morning, when Kirby awakened, Christie and the children were gone. "It's not even 9 o'clock yet," he thought, as he glanced around the undisturbed kitchen. "How did they leave without my not hearing them?" He placed a call to Carlita, their babysitter, to see if Christie may have left the children with her, wanting to spend some time to herself, but the children weren't there. He checked the closets in the master bedroom, as well as those in the children's room. "Well, at least I know she hasn't left for good," he sighed, after seeing the suitcases in place and the clothes undisturbed. As he stood before the mirror over the bathroom sink, he took a good look at himself. His face was still swollen and tender. "You blew it," he said to himself. "You really blew it. Why couldn't you have just left well enough alone? Why couldn't you have just left Sandy alone? You can hide the evil you've done from people, but you can't hide it from God. You of all people ought to know that. You've preached it from the pulpit multiple times. Your sins will find you out. Your sin has surely found you out." As he splashed cold water on his face, his cell phone rang. Thinking it was his wife, he hurriedly answered, "Christie, where are you?" "It's Jonathan, Kirby. You don't know where Christie is?" "Hey, Jonathan, no. I don't know where she is. I told her everything last night. When I got up this morning, she and the kids were gone." "By any chance, has your wife heard from her?" "No," Jonathan said. "You have no idea where she might be?" "I know she's in town because she did not take any clothes or anything else with her," Kirby said. "She may not want to face you this morning," Jonathan said. "Give her until this evening to get over the initial shock. So how are you feeling otherwise?" "Not good physically, nor spiritually," Kirby sighed. "I don't know where to go from here. I'm confused." "Look, Kirby, as your friend, I'm not going to spare you, Jonathan said. What you did was just plain stupid. I never thought you would do such a thing. I knew you were a womanizer in college, but this is just incomprehensible. Sex with someone your age, maybe, but a minor, no. What is most disturbing is your covering it up. When did you plan on coming clean about it? Don't bother to answer that. Anyway, you need to be prepared to tell on yourself on this Sunday, or the Sunday after Thanksgiving, seeing the offices will be closed on Wednesday. If I were you, I'd do it quickly before someone else does, and I mean someone like Cam. Yeah, I know I ought to, Kirby said. Do you want Monica to keep the children while you and Christy take a few days off, go to a hotel somewhere away from here and talk things over, pray, and if need be, get some counseling? We'd be more than happy to do that for you. Thanks, Jonathan, that would be a big help. I'm sure Christy would love that. I tried calling her on her cell, but I keep getting her voicemail. I don't know if she's ignoring my call or what. Maybe Monica would have better success at reaching her and talking to her about that arrangement. That would really help at this time. I asked Monica to call her right away. We'll be praying for you and your family. There's nothing that God cannot fix. In fact, let me pray with you before I go. Kirby was unsuccessful in reaching his wife by phone throughout the day. She could not have gone to her mother or even to my mother. It was almost 5 when Krista returned home with 3 exhausted children. She shuffled them up the stairs to their bedrooms, passed him as they exchanged greetings with their father. Get ready to take your showers, children. I have something important to talk with your father about. I was worried about you and the children. Why didn't you answer the phone? Kirby said once she returned downstairs. Did you really think I wanted to talk with you? Christy said. Anyway, I spoke with Monica, and no, she will not be keeping the children for us. Yes, we will take a vacation, which will end with Thanksgiving at my parents'. I have already called them, and they're looking forward to having us and seeing their grandchildren. I'm sure you won't mind driving us up there, will you? I'm doing this for the children, not for us. By the way, I went ahead and called the hotels. We have to pull out by 5 in the morning, so I'm going to give the children their baths and put them to bed. Good night, Kirby. Sleeping arrangements remain the same as last night. I'll let you know the first hotel we'll be going to in the morning. By the way, she said, stopping at the top of the stairs, you may want to spend the rest of the night holding an ice pack on your face. Or think of a lie you may want to tell my parents about your bruises. You're good at lying. Kirby stood aghast as she shut the bedroom door. Thank you for joining us for this episode of White House Family Stories. You may purchase a copy of this novel and any other Christian fiction books read on this podcast from Amazon.com. Now, dear listener, please know that God, the divine author of all things, wants to write a great story with your life as well. But first, you must give him the pen by trusting him with the life he gave you and surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ as Savior. Here is how. 1. Accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible states in Ecclesiastes 7:20, For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Romans 3:23 reads, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 2. Accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, For the wages of sin is death. 3. Accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. 4. Accept the fact that you cannot do anything to save yourself. The Bible states in Ephesians 2:8-9, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. 5. Accept the fact that God loves you more than you love yourself, and that he wants to save you from hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." With these facts in mind, please repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray and ask him to come into your heart and save you this very moment. The Bible states in the book of Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you are willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, please pray with me this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I realize that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life today. Amen. If you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelizedSociety.com and read what to do after you enter through the door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Thank you so much for listening, and may God bless you until next time.